Let's open our Bibles this morning to John 15. John chapter 15. And let's look at verses 1 through 8. You know, there's a scripture, I was thinking about this in this area of fruitfulness. I want to just focus on this morning a little bit. I'm being fruitful. But Jesus said this in John chapter 12. Why don't you back up and look at this? You're in chapter 15. Just back up to 12 and look at verse 23. Here this is actually the same period. He's coming into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they're crying Hosanna, which is, you know, talking about, you know, we talk about Palm Sunday. This is this time frame that we're talking about. But then look down at verse 23, and it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And I wanted to look at verse 24, talking about being fruitful. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Hallelujah. And he did. He died, and he's the what? The firstborn of many brethren. And so his death caused us, or allowed us, to be born again, because he became the mediator of a new covenant. And I like the New Living Translation. It says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." And that's what it did. His life has reaped a plentiful harvest of new lives. Father, we thank you this day for this few minutes that we have together. Thank you, Father, for your resurrection life that dwells in us. Thank you that the healing power of God is at work in our bodies. We thank you, Father, that your prosperity is working in our lives. We thank you that as we sowed our seed into the kingdom of God, we thank you, Father, that it is working on our behalf, causing men to give into our bosom. We thank you that all good things that we set our hands to are blessed. We thank you that our bank accounts are full. We thank you that our families are blessed. We thank you that our children and our offspring are blessed in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for living in us and dwelling in us. You are the teacher of the church. You are our helper, our standby, our guide. And we thank you that you also are the one that unfolds and reveals the word of God to us. So we look to you today that as we meditate upon the word of God, that you will unfold and reveal the word, the truth of God's word to us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this place that we have to meet in. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, starting in verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine," this is Jesus speaking, "and my Father is the husbandman," or gardener. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Isn't it interesting how Jesus, inspired by the Holy Ghost, he didn't say, "Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." He said, "Every branch in me." Isn't that interesting? "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or you could say prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, you know, we can never reach a place where we say we've arrived, because you're always growing. If you're producing fruit, then what does that mean? It means pruning, right? Anybody ever, I said, I was around my father. He was a horticulturist, graduated from Cornell. He worked on various projects and things, World's Fair and all of that. I was around pruning trees and all of this. Sometimes I'd look at the tree and I went, oh, God, he stripped it. It's got a bad haircut. But what you would see is, after this pruning, the amount of flourishing that happened on that tree. So he knew what he was doing. I didn't. I would have just gone snip, snip, snip. He was like, you know, trimming, right? But what I found out was that when you trim a tree, you know, the life is drawn into the branches. And you need to, in order to cause new life to come to the tree and different areas, when trees are top-heavy, all the life is going to these extremities and not growing branches or new branches as they should. So it's the same thing. Some things, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, when we're doing things for God, if it's not producing, needs to be cut off. Everything that we do should be producing something. You know, when think about this, I'm going to continue and make a point. It says, verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now that word clean is the same word, you can look it up, those that study the Bible or have an interest to. That Greek word for clean is the same exact word for purgeth, same Greek word. So how are we purged? We're purged from the word, and we all know that. We read something in the word of God and we go, ooh, pinch. Something causes us to do what? Change. That's purging. That's cleaning. That's pruning. What? Pruning dead stuff off in our life. Things that we're doing that the word of God will reveal to us that we need to change. That's what that is. So it says, now ye are, you could say, pruned through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So it's not just enough to abide in him, but his words must abide in you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Hallelujah. So how is he glorified? Bearing much fruit. You know, a lot of people have a whole lot of goofy ideas how God is glorified. But this tells you right here how he is. He's glorified by us bearing fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So this ought to be uppermost in our thinking and our purpose. You know, we were talking on Friday, on Friday night, and somebody used the word intentions. Well, right here, this ought to be a focus. This ought to be a purpose of yours that you bear fruit. This glorifies him, right? So this here, although it doesn't say intention, this is a purpose. Everything I do. So I should be thinking about how do I glorify God? I glorify him by bearing fruit. And so you're bearing fruit. We're going to look at that. How do we bear more fruit? So this says here, verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Some translations say called you. And or this says here, King James says, I've chosen you and ordained you. Some translations say I've commissioned you. Well, I like that. I like that when it says I'm commissioned. That means I'm authorized. That means I'm acting in his behalf or his stead. So I've been chosen and ordained that what? That you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. He may give it you. Now, this word remain, we touched on this last week. It means something that lasts, something that doesn't spoil, something that's eternal. So something that remains is not temporary, is it? It's not temporal, and so it's not subject to spoil. It'll endure is another word. So something that remains endures. Amen. So we're to have on our mind something that is fruitful and that it's eternal. It's spiritual fruit. Now, one thing I know, these are just some thoughts here. Pastor Clinton, when he was alive, he used to say this for year after year after year. Jesus is our focus and kingdom building is our job. Jesus is our focus and kingdom building is our job. That's fruit bearing. And so the complete Jewish Bible in John 15:16 says, you did not choose me. I chose you, and I have commissioned you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. One translation says perpetual fruit. That means something that lasts. Now, if you would, what I'd like to do is look at 2 Peter today, because we're going to look at how, I'm going to pick up from where we were last week, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. This is how we become fruitful, or more fruitful, I guess you could say. So this gives us gives us the way to become fruitful and not barren. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and peace multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power, this is what we're talking about, resurrection power here. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things, say all things, that pertain unto life and godliness. How? through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to glory and virtue, or excellence, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. So this word is impregnated with the divine life of God. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. This word diligence means to make every effort. If you make all diligence to do something, that means you're giving it your best. You're giving it your all. You're trying your hardest to do this. See? That's what this means. Giving all diligence. Do your best. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Well, if you're not unfruitful, you're what? Fruitful. And it says here, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's these great and precious promises in the Word of God that are not only going to make us fruitful, but allow us to be partakers of his divine nature. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'm going to stop here for a second, because this verse here is key also. Because if we look at either us personally, or we look at churches in general, you could see here some churches, they don't see afar off. They're stuck in things in life. They're stuck with conditions. They're stuck with stuff that's going on, and they're still fighting the devil, fighting people, fighting issues, right? I'm not going to name anyone, because that wouldn't be right. But he's telling us here that if you're not, it says here, if you lack these things, lack what? Lack virtue, lack knowledge, lack temperance, lack patience, lack godliness, lack brotherly kindness, lack charity. If those things you're lacking, you're blind and can't see afar off. And it says here what? And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What does that mean? You still act like in the world. Right? That's what that means. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That's the word giving all diligence. That means make every effort, or try your hardest. Do all you can to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Wow. That's kind of strong, isn't it? Let me share this. I was curious. Sometimes I'm curious. Sometimes a word will just hit me for some reason. I don't know why, but sometimes, as I'm reading a scripture or going back through, sometimes I'm looking and saying, boy, that just struck me. What does that word mean? Well, I'll tell you what happened is when I was reading this, let me pull this up here, the word fall just kind of, it just hit me. I'm like, wow, what does that mean? It says, if we do these things, you shall never fall. Well, I looked up that Greek word. It says to cause one to stumble or fall, to stumble, to err, E-R-R, to err, to make a mistake, to sin. Interesting. To fall into misery, become wretched. So that means that if I keep adding these things to my faith, that means I'm going to fall less and less and less and less. I'm going to make mistakes less and less and less and less. I'm going to sin less and less and less. If I keep adding these things, if I keep adding virtue to my faith, and I keep adding temperance to my virtue, or knowledge to my virtue, and I add temperance to my knowledge, and I add godliness, and I'm adding these things, and they're in me, and they're abounding, they're working, it means I'm going to fall less and less and less. I'm going to be more like him. Right? That's what that means. So that means I could look up, I could go a year or two without even missing it. Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Most folks say, yeah, that'd be real nice. Most folks are saying, yeah, I'm not patient. I'm not this, I'm not, well, you're not adding those things. You're not trying your hardest. You're not making all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if they're in you and abounding, you'll never fall. Wow. So we ought to focus on this because folks are talking about, you know, this walk is so hard. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're doing these things and adding them to your faith and you're looking to him and he's empowering you, it's not all that hard. You're not doing it in your own strength. Do you know the Word of God has the power within it to make you be what you see and hear in the Word? It has the power in it to make you be something. Make you what you're reading. So when it says you try your hardest, it's like, I'm really trying. I think trying doesn't mean I'm doing everything I can, but you're not doing it in your own strength. Because the Word of God in Joshua 1:8 says, if I meditate in this word day and night, and I don't let it depart out of my mouth, and I meditate on it, it says, I will make my way prosperous. So the word will make you be, right? So if we add these things to us, it means that we're going to be more and more like him. I'll tell you, that's exciting. And more fruitful. It says you will not be barren nor unfruitful. That's a productive, thriving life, isn't it? But it's going to take some effort, not just going to be sitting back watching TV and cruising through life and complaining about everything. You've got to take some time and meditate in this day and night. Think about it. Talk about it. Make time for it, you know? I don't like to step on this, but you don't get in shape by thinking about it. Unfortunately, it don't work that way. You don't get in shape by just thinking about it. You got to work at it. You have to make an effort. You see? Yeah. Do I like going to the gym working out? Not really. But I like the results. So it's those kind of things. We like results, but you've got to put some effort. You've got to be diligent at something. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying here. That if we make all diligence to add these things to our faith, we're going to see some fruitful life. We're going to see a fruitful life, and it says you'll never fall. Boy, I tell you, when you start talking about never missing it and never falling, boy, that gets your attention, doesn't it? Yeah. So this first, let's look at this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Well, this word virtue means moral, it means moral goodness, moral excellence. It means something that is not just low level. It means excellence. That's what that means. That word means excellence. Some of the translations, the Amplified, it means develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Some say excellence of character. The Complete English Bible, it says add moral excellence to your faith. So this, we have to make an effort to do this. Now, we're not doing it in our own strength, but God is empowering us to do what? To strive to go beyond what's just okay. Right? That's what moral excellence or excellence is. Now, it means something that's surpassing. Why don't you look at a few scriptures with me here? Psalm 8. When we talk about virtue, we're talking about excellence. So let's look at some words that are used in here. Psalm 8, verse 9. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. His name is above, it's surpassing. His name is above all other names. Right? His name is excellent. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name is above. See, so this is giving us an idea here of the word excellent. He's saying add virtue or excellence to our faith. That means striving to do something that's above, not just what do I have to do to get by. See, something that's surpassing, something that's above and beyond, right? Hebrews 8:6, it says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Hebrews 11:4, this is a familiar scripture, by faith, Abel offered under God a mediocre sacrifice. It says a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So it was far surpassing what Cain did. But he did it by faith. See? So when we talk about something that's excellent, we're talking about something that's added to our faith And this is what? This is going to help us be more fruitful, right? So we're not just doing this for the sake of excelling or doing something that's surpassing or beyond what we're called to do, but it says here that we're doing it and we're adding it to our faith. It's helping us become more fruitful. So think about this. God never says to you, when you ask him for something, he doesn't say, this is the best I can do. Does he? When you go to God, you're expecting what? The best. The best. And then you say, yeah, I'm sorry, but this is just the best I can do here. No, he's always going to give you his best. His absolute best. He gave us Jesus. That was his best. Right? So it's the same thing for us. When we add virtue or excellence to our faith, we're giving all diligence to give our best, right? That's what that is. And here's the thing, that best, I'm not, again, think about this. I'm not doing this in my own ability or own strength. Who lives in me? God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in me, the Spirit of wisdom. So the wisdom of God will help me and empower me to give my best, to do my best. He'll give me ideas and witty, creative things that are the best, right? So don't settle for less than God's best. Don't settle. Turn over to Ephesians 3:20, because this is talking about something that's over and above, something that's surpassing. We're talking about excellence. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is what? Able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that was. Worketh in what? Me. In us. So he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's how we can operate in excellence. We can do exceedingly abundantly above according to the power of God that what? Is at work in us. That's how. We're not doing this by our own ability. We're not doing this by our own strength. Right? Hallelujah. You know, you think, well, I'm trying. No. I'm looking on the inside. I'm saying his wisdom, his ability is working in me now, giving me creative, witty ideas that give glory to God through fruitfulness, my fruitfulness. Hallelujah. He gets the glory because it's his idea. It's his idea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're not going to live a lifestyle of just getting by, settling for less. No, we're going to trust and lean and trust with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and we're going to do what? Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he'll do what? Direct our paths. Hallelujah. Direct our thinking. Empower us to excel above. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God that leads us is the Spirit of excellence. He's the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of virtue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the next, when it says here, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, or and to virtue, knowledge. Well, this knowledge is, it just means understanding, knowing things. So how is that going to come? It's going to come by reading the Word of God, meditating in it. It is also the spirit of the entrance of His Word. As Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of His Word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. So that means that the entrance, letting the Word of God into your heart, and the unfolding, it talks about, or revealing of His Word to our heart, causes us to know. See? Think about this. The Word of God is not just for information. The Word of God is for transformation. Yes, we get information from the Word of God, but it's not just for information. It's for transformation. What? The renewing of my mind. Hallelujah. So the Word of God will transform us and change us into the very image and likeness of God, because he is the Word. So the Word of God will help us to know. And to, and let me read this here. Even Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but then that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. For when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." Now this is somebody who went to heaven, received all of this revelation, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said, "I know in part." So we've got more to learn, don't we? We've got more to know. And we can all say we know in part, but we're learning, we're growing. Hallelujah. So one of the reasons we don't produce more fruit is because of ignorance, not knowing. See? I'll give you a scripture, Hosea 4:6. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And it goes on to say, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." Here's a prayer that we can pray, Ephesians 1:17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So this is a prayer that Paul prayed to the church of Ephesus. And he prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And Brother Hagin talked about it. He said he prayed this every day for 6 months, twice a day. And he said after 6 months, he began to say to his wife, "What the heck have I been preaching?" He began to see more in 6 months than he had in studying the Bible 14 years. God began to open up and reveal truths in the Bible. But he began to pray that prayer for himself. "I ask the Spirit of God to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Knowing more, seeing more of the truth of God's word. That will help us be more fruitful. Amen. And you're doing that not in your own strength. And what's the next? The next is that we're to add to our knowledge temperance. Well, this word temperance means self-control. Oh, Lord. Masterful. It says strong in controlling yourself. as opposed to weak and giving in to things. So how does this, if I have no self-control, then it's going to affect my fruitfulness, right? In all areas. The Strong's, it says self-control. This says the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. So in other words, appetites for whatever that is. Whatever you see, whatever you taste. You know, I got to have this food. Well, if you can't control that, it'll affect you. It'll affect you. You won't be as effective. You know, Pastor Clinton said this years ago. At the time, I heard it. And, you know, when you hear a truth, sometimes it'll impact you, but you'll see it clear as you grow in the Word. He said, find a person who's not disciplined in life, and they're not disciplined in the Word either. They can't control themselves. They're not disciplined. He said, if they're not disciplined in their own personal life with personal things, then they're not disciplined in the Word of God either. Now, you may not agree with that, but just live a little longer and you'll see the truth in that. That habits of not being disciplined in natural things affect you. Your habits affect you in spiritual things. That's what that means. So we need to be have temperance. That's what? Self-control. We need to be able to master some things control yourself and your desires of things and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. Now, you may trip and fall, but you just say, you just make up in your mind, I'm not doing this. I'm not giving in to this. And we talked about, I think we were talking about that on Friday, you know, you keep doing something over a period of about 20 days, 21 days, it becomes a habit. And so you just decide, I'm not doing this. Your body's screaming, your mind's screaming, I want this, I want it. And you just say, I'm not doing it. No. Now that may be harder for some folks, but you know what? When it's difficult, you look to the greater one on the inside to help you overcome that and give you the fortitude, the strength in your heart. Because you know what the battle is? The battle is really in the mind. The battle is in the mind. The mind says, no, I want it. And what happens is, you know this, the more that you feed your spirit becomes stronger and it has a louder voice than this. This mind is saying, I want it. And your spirit's going, hello. And the mind is talking real loud. And your spirit man is real weak. But the stronger your spirit becomes, it'll speak up. And it'll say, no, we're not doing that. Shut up. We're not doing that. No. Some people can't walk by a bowl of candy and just got to have a piece of candy. It may seem like a simple thing. I remember Brother Hagin said this when he was alive. He said every time this was how he talked about it in his time. This is back in the 30s when he was growing up. He said, every time I went to town, I had to have a pop, a soda. Every time I had to have a soda. And he said, finally, it began to control him. And he said, he'd go into town, he said, nope, I'm not having a soda. I'm not having it. I'm not doing it. And the body's screaming, I want a pop. I want a soda. And he finally said, no, you don't control me. These appetites don't control me. I control them. And so those are the kind of things, you know, the self-control. No, I'm not doing that. I want that. No, and we're not doing it. We're just not doing it. And I would venture to say this will affect your fruitfulness. It'll definitely affect your fruitfulness. Because these appetites are sensual. When I say sensual, don't get stuck on thinking it's always sexual. No, we're talking sensual, meaning something your eye wants, something you take, I got to have this, right? But something spiritual is something eternal. So these things are something we need to control or control these appetites. And what does that mean? That means that this affects our fruitfulness. What did Paul say? Let me read this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is Paul now. He said, but I keep my body, or I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He said, I keep under. He said, the I is the spirit man. He's talking about I, the real me, the one on the inside. He said, I keep under, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the man on the inside, the person on the inside is the one who's in charge, not your flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know what? I'm going to stop here because I'm going to pick up next week. No, we'll pick up one more. I'm going to do one more here. You want one more?
Yes.
Patience. Oh, Lord. Oh, boy. Says here, well, patience is this going to help your fruitfulness, right? So add to your self-control or temperance, patience. And what is this? This is something that we're adding to our faith that causes us to be what? More fruitful. So this word, I'm gonna share this. You have no more faith than you do patience. Because it's faith and patience that we receive the promises of God. You think about this. You could start off, as they say, you know, like a house on fire in faith. Boom, I'm got this. And then you're going along, but it says you're going to have patience to see this through. Well, if you just go, forget this. How does that affect your faith? Goes away. So your patience is something very vital. Patience, this word means to have endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. So this is something that if I have patience, this is all what? Affecting my fruitfulness, seeing something through to the end. What does it say about Jesus? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's steadfast, right? That means he perseveres, he's forbearing, long-suffering. This is vital to our success. How many have, when you need to exercise your patience, what are we talking about? Opportunities. When we sit in traffic, we're in a long grocery line. Instead of getting huffy, just say, hey, here's an opportunity. This is an opportunity for me to work something so that I can be more fruitful. So when something is testing my patience, look for the opportunity. Look for the way of escape. That's what the scripture says. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, what? Above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that you can bear it. So when we're faced with something, he's going to show you a way. I heard a minister share this, Rick Renner. He said, he's a Greek scholar. He said, this word escape is the compound word of two Greek words. He said essentially what it means is, the same way it means to walk into something step by step. He said, that's essentially what the word escape means. You walk out of the same way you walked into. The same way you walked into a problem, step by step. How did you get into this mess? Step by step. Little by little, you walked into this problem, and now you got a big problem. He said, the same way you get out of it is you turn around and you walk out step by step. Little by little, you walk out. It's not this big, da 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 da, I'm out. No, you walk out step by step. God is giving you the way of escape. He's showing you step by step, just walk out of it. Right? And that's what we're talking about, having this patience to do this. That God's not going to give you something that you can't bear. He's going to show you a way to get out of it, right? Let me just a few more scriptures and we'll close. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Why? Because it has great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience. What's that saying? That means you're not gonna see the reward. This is what it says here. Cast not away therefore your confidence, your faith, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we're going to have, how are we going to be more fruitful? We're going to add what? Virtue to our faith, and to our virtue, we're going to add knowledge, and to our knowledge, we're going to add what? Temperance, and to our temperance, we're going to do what? We're going to add what? Patience. And this all is what? If these things be in me and abound, that means I got to constantly keep working them, exercising them. And if I do, then it says, I will not be barren nor unfruitful. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, this is where we live every day, right? This is where we live every day. The things that we stumble up against or stumble over, and we have to work at it. Amen. This is why Jesus came. So he defeated the power of the devil. So we're no longer, I love that song, we are no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. I've got a new master, and his name is Jesus. And by his spirit, he lives in me. And he does what? He empowers me to overcome. He empowers me every day. His power, his life is in me, working in me, helping me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Amen. Well, I'm finished. I know we went a little longer today. But if you'll cast not away, therefore, your confidence, if you cast it, because it has great recompense of reward, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive it. Amen.